Beis Adar, 10th of March, Rabbi Elibi Scheller, the Avoider of Purim.
What's that?
Kind of Avoider, you can't work on Purim.
Can't work, well. All to be Yeah, Rabbi say we're just approaching Purim, really. It's already love with it. It's already within 3 days of Purim. So I want to touch on what is the day of Purim beyond the historical meaning of Purim, which we're all very familiar with, and beyond the observance of Purim, the mitzvah sayoyim, which I'm sure everybody is well-versed in by now. There's also a whole another genre to do with Yom Tovim Bechlal. And that is that every Yom Tov has its underlying theme and its underlying message, and it also has unique potential. There's something within the days of a particular Yom Tov that allows for achievement that would take far more effort in other days of the year. So, for example, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. A person can be Makabel the Torah on Shavuos more than he can do a week before or a week after. There's a special koyach, there's a special skula of Purim that you can tap into Kabbalah the Torah on Purim. And the same is true for all of a Yom Torah. And this is based on a vort of the Baal Shem Tov, which he teaches the Mishnah in Megillah that says, Kol HaKoyres HaMegillah LeMafreya Lo Yotzo. The simple Tai Chi is that when you read the Megillah, you have to read it in the correct order, in the correct sequence. You can't read it backwards, you can't read the third page before the first, and so on. A practical application of this would be if somebody feels that they missed part of the Megillah, so they listen to the end, and then they go to the next minyan, and they'll just hear the first page of that posse that they missed, alatzad that they missed it, so then they're now not that's the Mafreya. They're not Yoitza. If you miss the last prayer, so you can listen to the end, it doesn't matter if there's a gap, and you're Yoitza. But the Baal Shem Tov says, Kol HaKoyres HaMegillah LeMafreya. Whoever reads the Megillah and sees it as something which is backwards, it's a response to something that happened in the past. It's not current, it's not alive, it's not real, it's not burningly relevant right now, right here. Then lo yotza, he wasn't yotza the true purpose and motive of the story of Purim, because he sees it as l'mafreya. Now to be sure, of course the pshat is l'mafreya, right? We say in the Allah Nisim, b'mei Mordechai v'Esther, Amad alei Haman Arosho, Bikesh la'abed, la'ashmi la'arigas, kol ha'yehudim, minar v'adzokin, taf v'noshin, b'yoyim echod, b'shoyishasol chodesh adar, and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Heferetz Asosei V'Kilkel Es Machshavtoi V'Eishim Es Gmulei V'Tol Oizim Es Bonav Alayetz. That's the story of Purim. There's no question the story happened at a particular time. But there's a Yesoid here, Rabbi Yisai. It didn't happen on that time randomly, arbitrarily. Which means it could have happened any time of the year. It so happens that the 14th day of Adar, the 13th day of Adar, was the day in which these events took place, and therefore we're responding to some fluke, some accident, and we're attributing significance to the day in response to the events which took place on that day by happenstance. It just happened to come before us that day. That's not the case. There's a reason why Purim took place on the 14th or 13th of Adar. There's a reason why Am Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim on the 15th day of Nisan. We say, for example, that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and when the Malachim came, he was giving them Matzah, he was Mekayim Pesach. So, he celebrated Pesach. So the Pashtus is that he saw Baruch HaKadosh, what's going to happen in the future. But Devis is not like that. Pesach was Pesach from this Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested into the 15th day of Nisan the ability to break free from bondage. And if that's the case, in Tovshin Ayin Zayin, when you're celebrating Pesach, it shouldn't be Lemafreya, you're responding to what happened 3,500 years ago, but rather, you have to identify your personal Mitzrayim and ask yourself, how can I break free? Where's my parah? What is it that's holding me hostage, that's putting me in slavery? What is it that's barring me from going Lavidus Elokim al Harazeh, from going to Eretz Yisrael and so on? So there's an avoid of Pesach, which is in myself, which is relevant, which is now, which pertains to me right here, right now. So bearing this in mind, what is Purim? What is Purim? So we all know the Gemara. The Gemara says that Kiyam of the Kibla Yehudim as Asher Echelu Lasseis, Purim was a reenactment of Matni Torah. Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah a second time. Why did they have to be mekabel the Torah a second time? Because from Matan Torah until the moment of Purim, there was no reason to reconsider anything. It was clear. There was one continuum. We're talking about the first Churban. Klal Yisrael went from Matan Torah, they went in the Midbar, where they had the tremendous Gila Shechina, and then they had the Tkuf of the Mishkan and the Tkuf of Bais Rishon, and then there's a Churban, and the Churban is reaching the 70-year end, and there's reason to assume that it's over. That it doesn't matter. That we've been abandoned, we've been neglected. And they say, no, we're Mekabel the Torah right here, right now. And there's a difference between the first Kabbalah and the second Kabbalah in that the first Kabbalah was Kofa Aleihem Har Kegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chazal tell us did not give them a choice. He put the mountain on top of their heads and he said to them, either you're Mekabel the Torah or otherwise Poyit Tehek for Aschel, it's over. Says the Balatanya in Lekut Torah, the Kofa Aleihem Har Kegigis wasn't necessarily a mountain made up of stones, rocks, and earth. It was kofa aleihem. They had no choice. They couldn't opt out. But the reason they couldn't opt out was because there was such a tremendous gilui of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was so obvious. It was so powerful. It was so propelling. You couldn't resist it. It drew you to the point where it was you couldn't opt out. This was so clear, anything else was worthless, was meaningless, was pointless. In the presence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's gilui, there's no choice. A Yid doesn't have options when you're standing in front of the Emes, in all its glory. The time of Matan Torah, the whole world came to a halt. So what options were there? In fact, the world is called Olam Miloshin Helen, because in order to allow for Bchiro, in order to allow for a Yid to have more than one choice, there has to be a Helen, there has to be a concealment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. In the future, when it's going to be Umalah Ha'aretz Deya Es Hashem, when the world is going to be filled with a clear knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Bchiro will be over. There won't be any options anymore. So there was such a tremendous Ava from Yidden to a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Matan Torah, as a result of the huge Gilui, the Gilui of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, in such a manifest, such an obvious way, that it's like saying you have an option to jump off a roof. It's not an option. Of course, technically you can do it. But that's called Kofa Aleihem. Kofa Aleihem, the Matziv of Har Sinai, the Maimed of Har Sinai, was a Kfiya. It's like Chazal say in the negative, Yitzrei Onsoi. Yitzrei Onsoi. Nobody's holding a gun to his head. But there are situations where the circumstances are so, so tempting that a person is almost exempt because it's irresistible. And Merubah Mida Toiva, in Kedusha, that could also be the case. We don't experience that because we're never so tempted by Kedusha that it's pulling us against our will. But at the time of Matan Torah, it was such a gilui that there were no options. That's the Kofa Aleihem Har Kegigis. Rabbi say, what is Purim? Purim is the other extreme. Esther Mina Torah Minayin. Esther Mina Torah Minayin. Banoichi Haster Aster Ponai Bayemahu. Ponai is the pnimius, when you can see clearly what's happening. There's the beyond the ponai zachirai, but there's the haster ponai, where there's a haster ponim, you don't see anything. Haster, haster ponai means that it's not only that it's concealed. The fact that there's something which is concealed is in itself concealed. The evidence suggests that there isn't anything that is concealed. There's nothing worth searching for. You know, if you hide something, you know, if I take my phone and I hide it somewhere, and I say, look for it. So I've concealed it. But I haven't concealed the fact that I've concealed. I can fool you to the point where you think there's nothing hidden here. There's nothing to search for. There's nothing hiding. It's a double concealment. And this is the real Kabbalah Satoyah. Klal Yisrael now mekabel the Torah where there's nothing compelling them to do so internally. There's no drive, there's no inspiration, there's no state of elevation. They're not being drawn upwards. Adarabba, the evidence argues that there's no presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah from the beginning to the end. They've been abandoned. And over here they manage to hold on. They manage to hold on and kiyamu v'kiblu. And they say, in spite of that evidence, we're here to stay. We're makabel, we're loyal, we're dedicated to the Torah. Dos is purim. To acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu in moments of tremendous darkness. Not just absence of revelation. Darkness to the point where there's nothing there at all. And to be makabel the Torah, then that's purim. And it says in Sforim that the word Megillas Esther, Esther, of course, is Milosh and Hester, which means concealment. Megillah means a scroll, but Megillah could also refer to Gilu. It's all about Gilui Hester, to be Megala, the truth that lies behind the Hester. And that's why it's the only Sefer in Chavdal Sefer HaKadosh, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned, but when you look back, you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there every step of the way. But not in a revealed way. In real time, it wasn't experienced that way. In real time, it wasn't felt that way. So that's Purim. Purim is the avodah of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoy chester, even where there's no revelation, even where there's seemingly apparent darkness. But Yid says that's not the determinant. It's not what I can feel. It's not what I experience. It's not what evidence I have or I don't have. I'm committed. Rabbi Yisai, before Purim, there has to be Mechiyas HaMolek. Right? Erev Parshas Zohar. What is HaMolek? What is HaMolek? Amalek is the exact opposite. The other extreme, 180 degrees, the other direction exactly of everything we've just said about Purim. Purim is the koyach of a yid to remain connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in absolute darkness. Amalek has the audacity to stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even at the moment of the greatest revelation. It's just such a big gilui, the whole world. Shamu Alim Yir Gozun. The world came to a halt. All the nations. Chilach Az Yoshua Plashis. Eilei Moya Vichazei Miroan. No Moya Vuko Yoshua Kanaan. People Aleyem Emosa Vafachat. Bigdol Zoyacha Yidmu Ka'oven. Doimim. They became like a stone. It became so... This was a moment where everybody, whoever had other opinions or other views, just had to remain silent. Wait your time. Once the excitement goes, then you can come in again. But right now, the nation is saying, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Koniso, there's nothing that we can stand up to. Sometimes we have to declare defeat. There's such a tremendous gilui that there couldn't have been an opposition to this gilui. Amalek, Rabbi Yisai, is the one nation which the Torah tells us there can be zero compromise, there can be nothing, you can't allow the slightest residue, the slightest impression of Amalek to enter and penetrate. And when we talk about something on the level of Avodah, it means that within every one of us there's an Amalek. With every one of us there's Amalek. In the process of going from Yitzias Mitzrayim towards Matan Torah, there is an opposition that's called Amalek. And there has to be an Avodah of Mechiyas Amalek. What is this Amalek? Amalek is the ability to see a ness in front of your face. And to argue and suggest, don't get excited about it. Don't get excited about it. What are you getting excited about? I once witnessed a conversation where somebody described an event that happened in their lives, tremendously unbelievable hashkacha that happened, in a way that just mathematically was one in a billion. At a moment where everything was lost, and the only possible scenario that could have saved it would have been one thing, which the likelihood of that happening was just infinitesimal. And that's what took place. So he was describing with a tremendous excitement what happened. So another person was sitting there, a yid, ostensibly a shomer mitzvahs. And he says, listen, let's make a chesed. How many events happen to a person in a day? How many events take place in your day? How many events take place in a week, in a month? There's millions and millions and millions of events. So what's the big chiddush if one of them has a unique combination of circumstances? It's just mathematics. You know, billions of people play the lotto, one wins. Some mess happened that you won, someone had to win. And I thought to myself, Dos is Amalek. Dos is Amalek. You can't argue with him. You have to wipe it out. You have to wipe it out. Asher korcha baderech. What's the korcha? Korcha is miloshin krius. Korcha is miloshin krius. Take away the excitement. Take away the excitement. He wasn't suggesting it wasn't even Yad Hashem. That's not the point. He was saying don't get excited about it. Amalek can witness Kriyas Yamsuf. He can witness Matan Torah. He can witness Esen Makis. He could see things that are just and say, okay, Asher korcha. There's a bath that everybody says if you jump in, you'll die, you'll get burnt. He'll jump in, he'll get burnt. But he will have cooled it. He will have cooled it. A precondition for Purim, for the Avodah of Purim, is Mechiyas HaMolek. Because it's hard enough to acknowledge a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence where you don't where it's dark. To have that chiyus in it won't allow it to happen. For a yid to retain, for a yid to be mekabel Torah in a moment of such darkness, he needs to get rid of that korcha, that asher korcha. He has to be committed in a way which is lemailo mitam vedas. He's not going to stand up. Reason and rational thought are going to prevail if they're given the platform. He has to say, this is something that I'm committed to in a way that is impervious to argumentation. I'm not going to discuss this. I'm David by Hashem. You don't see it. I have to ask it upon my point. But that's the neshama of a year that is connected, irrespective of everything that it faces at the time. Rabbi said, there's one more condition for Kabbalah Satorah. And it's a condition that we find in both cases of Kabbalah Satorah, the first time around and the second time around. First time around, it says, the Pasuk says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor. Shchodesh Sivan, Am Yisrael came and they camped next to the mountain. And we all know, Rashi brings it, the diktuk is wrong. It should have said, Vayachanu Yisrael Shom Neged Ahor. Vayachanu, Am Yisrael were plural. There were millions of Yidden there. Vayichan. So Chazal tell us, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. One of those rare moments where there was Klal Yisrael, was one person. There's no one there. I saw Chassam Sofer, a very scary Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, it's on the same theme that we're discussing now, you know, the idea of a Zman. Chodesh Shenefach Lehem Sosim L'Simcha, the whole Chodesh of Adar is a Zman, which is Mesugul. Chazal tell us certain things that the Chodesh Adar, you should take a risk in Chodesh Adar because it's a Zman that's Mesugul. So the Chassam Sofer says, we know that Aaron HaKoyen passed away in Chodesh Av. Says the Chassam Sofer, Zoy Zokter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Memali Yemeim, Vishniseim, Shal Tzadikim, Shonu Lashonim, Yoyim Liyoyim, Behechrech, Aaron was also born in Av. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was Noilad B'Sivan, B'Adar. Talk about Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Adar and passed away in Adar. And Haman was excited about Adar. Why was he excited about Adar? Because he said that it was Yoyim Shemes, and Rashi brings in Megillah, like a Gimel Amid Beis, that he didn't know that it was also the Chodesh which Moshe was Noilat. And Kedai Hu Yoyim HaLeido Shetachaper Al Yoyim HaMisa. The Yoyim becomes a Yoyim. It's a Yoyim. It's not the fact. Leidas Moshe makes a Shinui. And it's a Chodesh Shenepach Lehem. So it creates that as a result of Leidas Moshe, the whole month becomes a month of Simcha for Klal Yisrael. Lidoiris. See, Chazal don't say that Haman was a psanard thinking this month, that month, he was some superstitious. They say he was right. But he just didn't have the whole picture, he didn't have all the data, he didn't know that it was the Yinoilat. So a Zman means something. Says of some Sofer, Oy Bazoi, Aaron HaKoyin, who was Niftin Chodesh Av, would have also been born in Chodesh Av. Why do we find the Chodesh Av not only is it not a month of Simcha, but it's the exact opposite? Mishi Nichnes Av Memayetim B'Simcha. Moshe Rabbeinu's laid as machaper on the Amisa and makes the whole Chodesh into a Chodesh of Simcha, and Aaron, not only a neutral Chodesh, but the opposite, says the Chassam Sofer the following. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Am Yisrael, one thing it never did was to abandon Torah entirely. In every generation, there were Yidden who were dovuk in Torah. That's a historical fact. So they never abandoned Torah. So the Koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu was always with them. Says the Chassam Sefer, Aaron HaKoyen was Oyev Shalom V'Rei B'Shalom. There were very few times when Am Yisrael could claim could argue that they were davuk in the teachings of Aaron HaKoyen. Most of the Tkufis, we were not. And in fact, the events that happened on Tisha B'Av were told happened because there was Sinas Chinam. Yeah, Doyish Achav, where they had Sholem, there was things were well. The Doyish of Chizkiyo, it was Fakert, and things were bad. So the Chassam Sefer says the Koyach of Moshe is not shot because Moshe Rabbeinu was born then. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu was born then, and we are Dovuk in what Moshe Rabbeinu stood for. And I saw pshat that that's what the Megillah says, Hayom Me'ilu Niskorim V'Nasim. Hayom Me'ilu Niskorim V'Nasim. Through Niskorim, through that, it's Nasim. The day is only activated, the day only receives its koyach when it's Niskorim. Niskorim means when we live and remember what it represents and what it teaches. So Chodesh Av, Klal Yisrael was never very good at. Chodesh Av, Klal Yisrael was never good at. And therefore, Chodesh Av is at this point not a good month. It's Yehofich L'Sosn L'Simcha. When it's going to be, when we're going to be, L'Av D'Shchem Echod, when we're going to be one people again. Mashenki Chodesh Adar, which is Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're always Ba'achtus. We're always Mekabel the Torah. But as a Chonah for Kabbalah Satorah state, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, you had to have an Achtus of Klal Yisrael. Am Yisrael had to come together as one person. States in Sfarim, the same thing we find in the Megillah as well. Haman says to Achashverosh, Yeshnoi Am Echot. Yeshnoi Am Echot Mefuzurim Mefoyret Beino Amim. Yeshnoi means there is one nation, which is dispersed amongst the nations. So Shteitin Sforim, I saw this in the Yismach Yisroel, Yeshnoi Miloshen Sheino. The Echot, the unique element of this Am, is asleep. Now is a good time to get to them. Am Yisroel's Koyach has been neutralized, so to speak. There's nothing to fear. Why? Because they're Mefuzurim Mefoyret Beino Amim. They're not united. They're fighting each other. Mordechai says this, and they say Fakert. There's no Achdus in Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's Yeshnoi. They're asleep. When they're asleep, that's the time to attack them. And that's why Esther says in response, Lech Knois Es Kol HaYehudim. The first thing, before we have a plan, first of all, Knois Es Kol HaYehudim. Bring them together. Bring them together. So if the Achana for Matan Torah the first time was Vayichan Sham Yisrael, we find that again with the Achdus and Klal Yisrael that happens as a precondition for the Nisim of Purim to unfold, and the Sheikh Nisforim that this is this Maisa of the Shkolim. The Shkolim represent the idea of Achdus, that each person is only a Machtzis. Be'echad ve'odor Mashmin al Shkolim. Mashmin means you announce. But there's a pasuk in the Novi where it says Vayashma Yisroel Es Ha'am. Vayashma Shol Es Ha'am. Correct. Thank you. What did I say? Vayashma Shol Es Ha'am, of course. Yeah. What? Vayishama. Maybe. Vayishama. Shol Es Ha'am. Yeah. Yeah. We weren't taught not TikTok and not Tanakh. But Vayishama Shol Es Ha'am, which means he gathered them together. So, be'echad ba'adar, mashmim ala shkolim, through the shkolim, it brings Klal Yisrael together. As a precondition for Purim, for the Kabbalah Satoira of Purim, for the Avoida of Purim. The Avoida of Purim, which is this idea of seeing a Kaddish Baruch Hu even in a place of Hester, which undoes the Hester, which brings about the Nisim, which is what allows things to unfold in a way that it should become Megillas Hester. As a precondition for that, you have to have the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, where everybody's counted as a Machtis, where everybody sees themselves as part, as one unit, one equal unit, and an incomplete unit. An incomplete unit. The counting of Klal Yisrael could have happened any coin. Put in any coin you want. Right? And each unit would have been counted. Put in a note. Put in a coin. Yeah, they say a maisa with Reb Meir Shapira once spoke by a fundraiser for a yeshiva. And I think it was the tkufa of Pasha Shkolim. So he said, he asked the kasha, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to count Klal Yisrael. He says, can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu is going to count every individual yid? Every individual yid is going to stop, filed by Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to have his one moment face to face with Moshe Rabbeinu. People are going to come running. They're going to trample each other. They're going to kill each other. How are you going to make an order over here? How are you going to make a Seder? How are you going to organize this process? So he says, that's why the Pasuk says that each one should bring a coin with them. If you say you have to bring a coin with you, they'll take their time. They're not going to rush. They're going to go one on, you know, they're going to file by very slowly. Everything will be organized. But if it was about bringing a coin, they could have brought any coin. Why a machtis ha-shekel? Because a machtis ha-shekel is a reminder that every one of us is a machtis. And that it's only when you're miyucha together with Kal Yisrael that you can have the story of Purim. And we find this Bayim Kippur as well. Right? Bayim Kippur as well. Onu matirin lispalim arvaryonim. To have the Yom Kippurim, you have to have all of Kal Yisrael present. You have to have the Achdus of Kal Yisrael. You have to have the Leich Knoises Kol HaYehudim. And that's the avodah of a preparation for Purim to be misachid with the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the mitzvahs of Purim also point in this direction. Kol ha-poishet yad noistim loy. Mishloach monis yishlo re'eyu. And so on. So they should help from Rabbi Yisrael, we should all be zoiche, that this Purim we should have the tremendous gilui of the Hester, and we should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in a way where it's going to be begolui, as it says, V'yoyim o'yiyah, Hashem echod u'shmoy echod. Amen.